Welcome to Big Foamy Head, Show 73, The Porter Beer Show.
Well, take me to the airport and put me on a jet. You know that that's as high as I ever wanna get. And fly me to a place where I don't belong. I stop to get tired of this highway song.
Trout Highway Song. It's a peppy little tune.
We'll dedicate that to Pacific Brew News, Rick.
Yeah, because we know he loves him some Walter Trout.
And he does.
That's why he's going to buy him a ticket and come to Memphis to see Walter live on the blue stage at Memphis in May.
And even sleep in my guest room if he wants to.
Or my garage, one or the other.
Maybe we'll share a porter with him while he's down here.
Well, if we, we may very well have some left. We are just rich with porters.
Yeah, we're having a porter show, and with the only reason for it is
we got a lot of porters.
We got them laying around. Well, so we won't call it a refrigerator beer show because we actually did a little bit of show prep.
Well, we kept them.
We kept gathering porters from around the world.
We did, and we kept putting them aside, and our little one or two porters grew and grew and grew, and we actually, I believe, we have too many porters to drink, especially given the fact that we kicked off our show with the liver stretching exercise documented on film as always. Of a special beer.
Michael Lee's barley wine. Barley wine style ale, I should say.
And see, he didn't precise. Say that. He just said barley wine. And it poured flat. I mean, very little carbonation.
No gas.
No gas, but drank smooth, man.
Yeah. 9-year-old beer.
Mucho alcohol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And very good. And it warmed
and
me.
Michael Lee is the owner and proprietor of Mid South Malts. Let's give them a plug.
Great. Absolutely.
Great to have a little homebrew shop.
Give them golf clap.
Yep. We're holding up the signs.
Yeah.
But
hush, y'all.
Hush, y'all.
Yeah. So, a lot.
Hello.
And that
was an audio extra.
That begins round one of porters.
So, tell us about this porter.
We are drinking a lovely and talented Bell's Porter.
Bell's a robust porter for all occasions. A blend of dark malts gives this beer flavors of coffee and chocolate with subtle roasted notes. Alcohol by volumes, 5.6%.
Good.
And we've done a show on Larry Bell's beers.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Bell's beers, yeah. I said that correctly. And great guy. Great beers.
And he makes fantastic beers. We're glad
I can't think
of
a single beer of his I don't like.
And I did some show prep, believe it or not, and picked some historical notes about porter because we were going to drink this porter, and I thought, well, I might as well know a little something other than it's a dark beer. So I looked it up, and under the English porter category, which is where it all came from, we learned a little bit about where porters come from, said to have been popular with transportation workers of central London, hence the name, porters, tote your stuff. And it says the most traditional British brewing documentation from the 1700s state the porter was a blend of three styles, an old or soured or stale even beer, a new ale, a brown ale or a pale ale, and a weak one, a mild ale. Various combinations of blending, etc. The end result was commonly known as entire butt.
Which roughly translates to the entire barrel, or everything but the kitchen sink.
And also known as three threads.
For the three different beer styles that were blended.
And the cool thing about this was it was the first truly engineered beer, it says here, catering to the public's taste, playing a critical role in quenching the thirst of the UK's Industrial Revolution and lending an arm in building the mega breweries of today. Okay?
And the conquest of the world.
And then it
the
went away.
The colonial empire of the British.
And I was telling Mike, Guinness started off as Guinness Porter. And then they evolved into the Guinness Stout. And so it went away. And then it says here, Porter saw a comeback during the home brewing, et cetera, et cetera. Today they're typically brewed using a pale malt base, et cetera. Well, that's the description of an English porter. Alcohol by volume ranges from 4 to 7. Almost every single beer we're drinking is an American porter. We took it.
Because we're Americans.
Because we're Americans. That's right. Because we can't. Because we got the bomb. So we, it says.
Like everyone else in the world doesn't.
That's right. We have more bombs. It says, inspired from the now wavering English porter, the American porter is the ingenious creation from that. It's ingenious. We took somebody else's idea and kicked it up a notch.
To our international audience that's maybe a little dense, we're just poking a little fun at ourselves.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Just in case you didn't figure that one out.
It's we kid because we love. The thing about what the American brewers have done, we throw stuff in it. Smoked malts, coffee, chocolate, everything, and really holding with the entire buttload of stuff, dumping it in there. The range is still pretty much the same, 4 to 7.5%. I don't know where they get that half percent for an American porter. But everything we had was technically an American porter. And I wanted to start off, we were looking, trying to figure it out. The Bell's Porter is the only one, or one of the only ones that we're drinking tonight that isn't doing a smoked twist.
We're all about the smoked beers.
We love the smoked beers.
And they seem to find their way to our hands.
Yes, they do.
And through our lips.
And our lips, yes.
So in drinking this and looking at the descriptions, what are you getting coffee? Are you getting chocolate? What do you get out of this?
I'm going to sound dumb and say it tastes like a classic porter, you know.
I don't think
Which doesn't describe it at all.
Yeah. Well, I don't get either. I don't get either chocolate or coffee. This, to me, is actually trending towards a lighter mouthfeel stout. I like this. I mean, I like this a lot. But I'm not getting eat up with chocolate, you know, like some of the chocolate porters. I'm not getting eat up with coffee.
No, it's
not
real
too much
light.
Roastiness. It's real light, not real heavy in either. Mm-hmm. In either.
And what did you say this was, 5?
5.6.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's right in there. It's actually trending towards the lower end of the styles and American porter. And the one that we don't have is a Baltic porter, which was basically, it is a style we had on our Duck Rabbit show
done Baltic porters on the show before.
But what I was reading on this is, it says here, the porters of the late 1700s were quite strong compared to today's standard, easily surpassing 7% alcohol. So these were drunk guys dragging your bags, dropping them in the water, God knows what.
Well, the water was poisonous, so they had to drink something.
And it was really thick, so they could just reach down and pick it up.
And they lived to a ripe old age of 40.
Yeah, know? That's right. So. If you were lucky. When they were like 28 was middle age. So The Baltic Porter is in my reading and interpretation of this, it's like Imperial. It's jacked up the alcohol, because it says here, right here, to withstand the shipment across the North Sea, hence the name. So it's Imperial. And a lot of the Imperial Porters then are technically classified under Baltic Porters, but they could be like Imperial American Porters.
Okay, so we've done classic American Porter, the Bell's Porter. Let's go with the British one.
And so now we're going across
Sammy
the
Smith's
pond. And this one you get everywhere, right? The Taddy Porter?
Mike found this everywhere. He went across the bridge to
left Memphis.
Arkansas.
That's right.
Or West Memphis.
The cultural mecca that is West Memphis. They got themselves a Greyhound part, by God.
And he found us some Sammy Smith's Taddy Porter.
Mm-hmm. These don't really pour a giant head. There's no big foamy head on this. Not really. And I poured pretty straight down.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, the head that is there is coffee and cream colored.
Clear bottle. We know that Samuel Smith does something special to prevent skunking. I forget exactly what it is.
Probably keep it in a closet.
No, I understood the science of it at one time.
They
do
something
to...
they pasteurize it? Let's hope not.
There's a cohumulone that comes out in the hops, and when light strikes that, that's what causes the skunk aroma. Somehow they get rid of that.
Oh, okay. We'll have to find out about that. I don't know what a tad caster is. We didn't look it up.
No. I'm getting interesting notes on this.
I do have notes. This is one of my few show notes that I actually got. Now, did you look? I don't know if you looked up the Bells.
I did.
On Rape Beer?
The Google. No, not Rape Beer, but I did on the Google and went to Bell's website. Samuel Smith, the famous Taddy Porter, history of the Porter, was the first commercially brewed beer. It was named for train porters who were its original servers and consumers. Samuel Smith's old brewery, Yorkshire's oldest, reintroduced authentic porter to the British beer scene in 1979 after an absence of more than 50 years. That's interesting.
It's good stuff.
Taste fairly dark, or very dark, fairly full in body, and packed with flavor.
I'm looking at the numbers on this, and, on Rape Beer, you can get, depending on the beer, pretty good number.
I'm still trying to get over the nose. What is that? Kind of musty.
Yeah, it is musty. The taste is different from Bell's. It's a little, I'm not going to say sour, but it's got a little bit of a tang. Not sour tang.
Tang is good.
A little tang.
Good description.
To it.
Yeah, a little.
Very light, and I think I got a little tiny bit of coffee in this one versus the Bell. I probably shouldn't talk.
This is really good.
Talking to my glass.
Talking and drinking is difficult.
Yeah.
Difficult skill to do.
And you gurgle.
I thought it would have more flavor, but it doesn't really have a whole lot of flavor.
It's good. This is one you can drink a lot.
So they continue to describe its intense, dry, tangy character.
Dry, that's a good
barley.
Dry, yeah.
Serving suggestions, oysters on a half shell, Rockefeller or Cajun-style clams, mussels, crab cocktail, lobster bisque, and other shellfish.
Hmm. What about chicken wings?
Is that on there? Green peppercorns.
Let me find out here.
Veal with green peppercorns, porterhouse steak, and, of course, chocolate.
Chocolate.
Serve at 55 degrees in monic or tumbler.
Okay. So I don't know what that first one was.
Neither do I.
Well, the numbers on Beer Advocate, 469 reviews. That's a good number of reviews. They rated this an average 89.
That's really good.
It's really good. Yeah. Considering that many.
Mm-hmm.
It says in here it's 5% alcohol by volume. Good stuff. And I have a medley of show stuff, and Mike brought even more. We have chocolate. Because I was looking at this on food pairings. Porter is found a lot in food pairings, too, as usually at the end of the meal. But every so often, with a barbecue. Now, not this one. But the smoked porters that we're going to get into, you find that paired with barbecue or spicy foods a lot. So we've got a lot more porters.
94 on Right Beer. Considering the beer snobs on Right Beer, that's amazing.
Oh, I'm on Beer Advocate.
Yeah.
This 94.
On Right Beer, yeah.
Wow.
Does it show how many reviews there were?
889.
Oh, wow. Well,
this is a well-reviewed beer.
Yeah.
So I guess we can safely assume it's a good beer.
This is a good beer. We recommend it.
Yeah, very good stuff. We've got...
We always consult the Oracle before
you know, after I ate that chicken wing, it really brought a lot of flavor out.
Well, I just had a little piece of chocolate to try it out.
What did that do?
Well, it actually kind of cut the taste.
Mm-hmm. I guess chocolate was so rich.
Mm-hmm.
There's something to the nose. I
don't
smell it. It's almost like a little bit of a sour smell coming off the nose.
Yeah, I think you may be right. So we've
it's
got...
It's good, though. It's
our next... Our next porter, I'm looking at the list, I think we need to do Anchor because it's not smoked. And we've got an Anchor porter from, care to guess, Anchor Brewing Company in California.
Ta-da.
Nobody will ever know what's in this because they don't share their recipes, what hops they use, nothing.
Really?
I think somebody had to break in to figure out the whole steam beer thing. It's also ranked high, and so it'll be interesting for us to do this side-by-side comparison because this is an English-style porter, rated 89 on Beer Advocate. Almost 100 more reviewers on Beer Advocate, they also rated Anchor Porter an 89. Did you find it?
No.
That's hidden up in there. Try at the bottom. We've got so many porters, we've got a refrigerator full of porters. So while we're looking for the Anchor Porter, let's take a break and listen to the one of the main stage artists from Memphis in May, Watermelon Slim and the Workers, Possum Hands. that was Watermelon Slim, Possum Hand. And we're into the...
Truly an instrumental, because at the very end he goes, Possum Hand.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
It's kind of like Green Onions.
Yeah.
I was thinking, okay, we're going to all memorize the words. And now we have.
And depending on what time he comes on stage, we'll be either be... passed out cold or standing up in front cheering him on, one or the other.
Shirts off, screaming.
Yeah. Slobber knocking.
So, what do we got here?
It's the beer you were introducing last time, and I was butzing around in the beer fridge trying to find it, the Anchor Porter.
Man.
Different.
Like you were saying, different beer.
This one's clean, it's smooth. Still dark. They're all the same flavor, or the same darkness.
Does have a little coffee nose. To it.
Yeah, I was getting chocolate.
Of course, no, we didn't let this sit out that long. So we are drinking this one probably too cold.
It is pretty chilly, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you with the richer, more intense beers, it doesn't hurt to have them sit out and warm up a little bit.
This is extremely well rated. It's got a 98 percentile after 1,131 ratings on ratebeer.com.
Whoa.
San Francisco's famous Anchor Porter brand is made from one of the smallest and most traditional breweries in the world by the brewers of Anchor Steam Beer. Our old-fashioned porter is virtually handmade with an exceptional respect for the ancient art of brewing. We use 100% malted barley, generous amounts of fresh whole hops, entirely natural carbonation, and a simple natural brewing process which is like no other in the world.
Okay.
The deep black color, the thick creamy head and intensely rich flavor of Anchor Porter, made in San Francisco since 1974, have earned this delicious and unique brew a worldwide reputation for outstanding quality. It is aesthetically pleasing and wholly superior in every respect.
It's a good beer. It's got an 89 on Beer Advocate.
They like themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mike, what do you get out of it?
I like the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
That flavor. I just took a little bite of chocolate and took a sip, and it just really blew up in my mouth. I mean,
I'm getting both coffee and chocolate off this.
Really, really good.
Off the nose.
I mean,
you can almost breathe it in.
On that website, is there a beer that ever gets 100?
Yeah.
Occasionally.
The ones we've had, Alesmith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But to get 98?
What's our Speedway Stout?
Yeah.
Bourbon Age Speedway Stout. And
but looking at the numbers... And to score in the 90s with over 1,000 reviews, you're doing something right.
Yeah, that's consistent reviewing across the board, consistently high. So,
yeah, I like this one. This is good. When I bought it out, when I was on my trip in California, I bought it and drank a few of them at the house. And I said, this is one I definitely want to bring back and get you guys to try.
It's very good. Well, I tried, I was chewing. I hope I wasn't leaning into the mic while I was doing that. But I was eating one of your chicken wings to try what you did earlier, spicy food, then balance it out with the porter. Very good.
And you ever tell us about your chicken wing recipe?
Is
this something you want to share with the nation?
Sure. I just I took a little clove and ground it up, and then I took some... what did I say a while ago?
Rosemary?
No, I didn't use rosemary.
Ginger.
You lied.
Ginger.
Oh.
I corrected myself with
him. He did correct himself.
Ginger and clove and sprinkled that on it while I cooked them in the oven. And then I took some Rendezvous rib rub and put on it. And then a little Louisiana hot sauce to put a little heat in it. And
it's good stuff.
Pretty simple recipe.
Very good. Very nice. And you also brought over some cheese with a Rendezvous rub on them?
Mm-hmm. Yes. A little sharp cheddar with a Rendezvous rib rub sprinkled on it.
And more cheese and sausages and chocolates.
Easy eating.
And if all else fails, barbecue Fritos.
Yeah. Barbecue Fritos. It's not even appealing to us because we got so much good food here.
I know. We got so much food.
This is so good, it'd be even good for breakfast.
Well, speaking of breakfast, our next beers that we're going to be getting into have a smoky taste. I don't know if we'll have any bacon-flavored beer, but some of these, man, they're through the roof.
All right.
I'm here. Certainly.
You're really enjoying that Three Stages bottle up the other night.
Certainly.
Now, this is O'Fallon.
Yeah, one of our favorite companies. We've done a show on them recently.
Yeah.
They love beer.
They do love beer. And this is a tasty beverage here. O'Fallon is a company. We did an O'Fallon show. They are very well versed at the art of infusing beers with flavors. We did their they gave us this beer, special beer that they did, that they had aged in a bourbon barrel. This is the regular smoked porter.
Yeah, you got that right off the tip, man. Yeah. They were bottling that.
Yeah, yeah. We had it. That was
they
very
filled
cool.
the bottle and handed it to me.
Wow. Yeah. So that was very cool. And we like O'Fallon. We like everything they do. And now I notice you got a big head on yours. You must pour it straight.
I just dumped it in.
Down.
Yeah.
So this is a smoke. This is the first of our smoked porters.
This is dark, rich, and smoky. This classic porter is brewed with 63% German smoked malt, and makes a perfect after dinner or anytime sipper for those who love a bigger beer. Winner of the gold medal of the 2004 Great American Beer Festival for best smoked beer in America.
Hell yeah! What's the? Are you reading it off of Rate Beer?
That's off their website.
Off their website. So we don't really have a rating in front of us, but you get right off the bat the nose.
Good smoky nose.
Smoked nose, and I had some smoked cheddar cheese, so let's see how it goes with it.
I love that. That makes me happy. You know, you have a crap day.
Wow.
You come home, you have an O'Fallon smoke porter. And
makes you
it
happy.
Just puts a freaking smile on your face, you know?
Almost feels like you're drinking a smoked sausage.
It is. Oh, man, it's good. It's got that smoke and
people
and
might not
sweetness.
Like that analogy.
smoked wieners.
It kind of tastes like a smoked sausage, though. It's got a great flavor.
It's got a good flavor to it. I'm not getting sausage out of it, but I am getting...
I'm not getting sausage either.
But I am getting smoked.
Now, what I've heard sausage... When people say smoked sausage, normally they're talking about peat smoked malts.
Mm-hmm.
And the German smoked malts are beechwood smoked. They're not peat smoked.
That's so what we're talking.
It's a much different aroma, much different flavor, much different taste.
And so. You got to have them shipped over and all of that.
Now,
it's
the Orkney Scottish Ale that we had,
mm-hmm.
that was probably peat smoked. But it was very mild.
I believe it said that.
You can only use a touch of peat smoked malts. But you can use a lot of the Bamberg malts.
And later on, aren't we having one that's hickory smoked?
Yeah, partially.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
it's both the...
A little bit of everything.
Beechwood and hickory smoke in that
one. Yeah. So, good stuff.
We're going to put a splash in that one.
Good stuff.
If you know what I mean, wink, wink.
This is the first smoked I've ever had.
Rape beer puts it at 84%.
Oh, really? You hadn't had a smoked porter before?
I don't think I have, no.
Rape beer puts it at 84%.
Very good.
84? How many? Does it show how many ratings?
185.
Okay, so not a whole lot of ratings to it, but overall, good, respectable score.
How long has this one been out? Been out for a while?
Well, I won the Gold American Beer Festival in 2004, so it's been out at least that long.
They're not that old, a brewery.
These guys are small.
Yeah. Very cool little place.
They're out
place.
Of O'Fallon, Missouri.
Right next door to St. Louis.
Nicest guys you'd ever want to meet.
Very great guys. Went over there and toured their whole operation. Took all of 30 seconds. Walk around a building. But great operation. They love their product, and they listen to us. So, they're a good brewer.
They're great people. Anybody that'll put up with us, right?
Yeah. So that's good stuff. So I'm glad we started off with O'Fallon's for the smoked beers. And that seems to be, if you look on the description, I don't know if you say it's a common denominator, but there's a lot of smoked porters in the American porter style. And we've got a couple more.
So it goes together like bread and butter.
Yes, sir. It does. It's good stuff. So, you know, you were saying this earlier because I was obsessing on one holiday. And you reminded me, and you think I know this.
Today's an important day.
It is not. It's not a holiday. We don't celebrate
it's a sad
this.
Day.
It's
yeah.
a sad day, but it is
we
a historical
it.
Day.
April 4th, shot rang out, Memphis Sky. Y'all heard the U2 song.
Yep.
You know what we're going to say. Today is the day Martin Luther King was assassinated.
Right. Here in Memphis, downtown, the Lorraine Motel, still there. And so
still there, now turned into the Civil Rights Museum, and I believe that they've gotten funding within the last 2 years to significantly expand. But they have at least a replica of the Selma bus that Rosa Parks rode on.
They do.
And they showed pictures of the marching.
The marching, holding up the sign says,
I am a man, and that came from Memphis. That was the trash workers' strike.
It was,
which is the first time that Martin Luther King really got involved in his ministry. I'll call it a ministry, but you know, the civil rights movement.
So. And I will tell you on a personal note, everybody knows the picture of Martin Luther King. He's fallen to the ground, and you see all the people pointing, right?
To the window, right.
To the window. The girl in the foreground with the short, cropped little afro, Mary Hunt, who I worked with for years.
Oh, seriously?
At FedEx.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Her sister.
So she's in one of the most famous pictures in the entire world.
Yes, yes. And she's passed away. She's not with us anymore. But her sister is, and she continues preaching truth and justice as Judge Ernestine Hunt.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, how nice.
So they're keeping it in the family. Good for them. And, you know, it's something that we don't, you know, you don't think about that all that much. We were goofing around. It's like, man, you just can't. There's some things you just don't mock.
Yeah.
And that's one of them.
The assassination of Martin Luther King is obviously a significant moment in U.S. history.
It is.
And it wasn't actually that long ago. So.
And as
it was during our lifetimes.
And we were talking about here from a blues and R&B perspective, it changed the face of music. Too here in Memphis.
Yeah, it shook up Stax Records.
Basically, that was it. That was the door started closing right there on that day. Things started going
downhill.
That's
when they started noticing black and white.
They had never noticed it before. And
the race relations were changing.
Yep.
So. I was talking about this with some friends, and we were talking about where were we, you know, back then. And I can remember being a child in Covington, Tennessee, and when it came across the news, and you could see the my parents, they were concerned, and then we were looking out front, and cop cars were going up and down the streets, and it was just a real electrifying time.
Yeah, it's a different time, and it's something that I think, unfortunately, too many people have forgotten these days. But
on both sides of the fence.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
everybody's going to put it aside. But on a lighter note...
Here's a major downer, but on a lighter note.
Well, there was another major downer that we do celebrate the end of
Prohibition.
This
18th Amendment?
April 7th. And, of course, all this has passed by the time you hear this. But, the 18th Amendment repealed by the 21st Amendment, April 7th. What was it? 33?
You're talking about the...
The repeal or the...
The repeal was...
And what was that phrase... That you, he's got the big, Mike's got the big book of beer out.
That was Dick's Christmas present
That's
for
right.
his children.
Well, let's go all the way back to 1915. It says there are about 1,400 operating breweries in the U.S.
1,400.
And then, of course, the Anti-Saloon League lobbies for a constitutional amendment that prohibits liquor. And, then in 1919, it says here, nuts, in January, Congress ratifies the 18th Amendment prohibiting the transportation, manufacture, import, or sale of intoxicating liquors.
That's just crazy.
I can think of a few other words besides nuts.
Now,
but
further down, though, and you said this, there was like two phrases, something about the great evil. And the other thing you said, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yeah, this was in 33, exactly 13 years, 10 months, 19 days, 17 hours, and 32 and a half minutes, Prohibition ends nationwide on December 5th. Upon ratifying the 21st Amendment, which nicks the 18th Amendment, President Roosevelt says, "I believe that this would be a good time for a beer."
Yes.
Amen.
He was the coolest
now,
president.
Is that Teddy Roosevelt or
no,
is that
FDR?
Franklin.
FDR.
He's a cool guy.
So the only president to serve four terms.
Yeah.
Or to be elected to four terms.
Now, we are busting open
breaking open the big boy.
This is one I was looking forward to.
Talk about boys that like themselves, Stone Brewing Company.
Yeah, they're kind of shy. They need to loosen up a little bit.
they're not at all opinionated.
No.
Or
I love their stuff. I love their stuff, and I don't have my cheaters on. But it does say about the stone smoked porter, a gargoyle, a fearsome figure carved from stone that has powers to ward off evil spirits. Our stone gargoyle wards off modern-day evil spirits such as chemical preservatives, etc.
So the goofballs that think it's a demon, you're wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong. It's a gargoyle.
It's a gargoyle. Kick-ass gargoyle.
It says, deep mahogany around the edges and approaching pitch black in the center. mysterious, smoky, and edging on decadent. Connivingly complex, excellent with just about any barbecue and meats, amazing with fine chocolate, cheesecake, and other rich desserts, and pretty damn good with a PB&J sandwich. I got to tell you, this is probably one of their tamest back-of-the-bottle things the Stone fellows have done.
Yeah, I was just looking. They got a Stone Brandy Barrel Smoked Porter, Stone Chipotle Smoked Porter.
Oh, yeah. Let me see the
regular old Stone Smoked Porter.
Oh, I wanted to see the Gargoyle. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we that's got that's their mascot.
Now, 90, this pour is rated 97 from Rate Beer.
97, okay.
831 ratings.
We've got 585 ratings on Beer Advocate with an overall score of 89. I noticed the porters across the board are rating 89s.
Hmm.
So everybody likes a good
porter. 5.9 alcohol by volume.
Very nice.
And it says, a rich, dark, and delicious porter with chocolate and coffee overtones accentuated by subtle smokiness from just the right amount of peat smoked malt. So these guys are using peat
smoke. Okay. And I noticed the nose is not as, it's not as prominent as the O'Fallon. And this is probably a tangier beer.
Yeah, maybe this is more authentic.
I'm wondering if they, I'm wondering if they're using they like the Chinook hops. I don't know what they're using this, but this has got more of a hop taste than some of the other porters that we've had. A little tartar.
Mm. Stone is usually very open about their ingredients.
Oh, yeah. Willing to share.
Yeah, they provide the ingredients for their epics, you know, their annual ones that they're doing.
Yeah, the 10s and 15s and... It goes
goes pretty good with that dark chocolate.
Well, luckily, it's 100% natural.
Very good stuff.
Only barley, hops, water, and yeast are used. No additives, no chemical preservatives, no pasteurization, no adjuncts.
Now, I've been trying the different chocolates. Mr. Goodbar goes with anything. That's what I found out. But the bittersweet chocolates, I think the darker chocolates, really go good.
I agree.
With the...
Well, I think if you're going for an authentic English porter, you would probably want to use a little bit of peat smoked because that's what they had. You know, they burned peat for heat.
Good stuff. I like that.
Did you hear my poetry there?
Your peat for heat?
They burned peat for heat.
Man, you're a poet and didn't know it.
That's like a sore peter. You can't beat it.
But my toes show it. They're long, fellas.
Now, we got more porters, even more porters.
We've got regular segments that we normally do.
I know, that's what I was going to say. It's coming up. It's coming up.
My God, we got to drink another one?
We
get to drink another one.
We've got
we get to
Beer Haiku coming up, speaking of poetry.
Our new segment with Rick Light.
That's right. Now, we're hoping Rick's going to show up because he's coming off that cruise. So hopefully he's back and we'll get a little bit plugged in here. And try and keep it under 3 hours. you know, so we get longer and longer, our shows. It's like, well, hey, we got like 15 beers to get through.
It's Johnny Max's fault. He's doing his epics, you know.
That's it.
You know, now we're doing beer haiku and we're doing all sorts of goodies.
Some of everything.
Culture.
So we're going to do another Watermelon Slim while we're at it because we like Watermelon Slim. This is a cool guy.
Very.
We talked about him on the show before. He's a Mensa guy. He speaks like 15 languages, had a heart attack, plays the blues.
I went to YouTube and looked him up and watched a lot of his videos performing live, and very entertaining artist.
And that's what we're looking forward to. We have maintained this all along. Best way to see the blues, right in front of him. So here's another, a vocal version, Watermelon Slim with a Juke Joint Woman.
My car. You know the landlord. sausages and a clock. Do you know where your children are? I said, yes, Mr. Voiceover. I know right where my children are. Man, I know right where my children are. Sitting right here on the couch next to me, but their mama left the whiskey bar. I got a juke joint woman clubbing every night. Well,
so we have Beer Haiku.
We got all kinds of culture in this segment. And gosh, I'm so eating
up
with porters. What were we just listening to?
Another Slim Watermelon,
Watermelon Slim. And his second song, we were listening to Juke Joint Woman. I'm staring at Mike.
You sound uncertain. Maybe we should restart
this.
Well,
I was staring at Mike. I don't know why I had to look at Mike to think Juke Joint Woman. I don't know what that means.
Well, you look at Mike. And
Mike, I'm sitting here and didn't even realize that we were back on. So.
Yeah, we are. Put your earmuffs back on.
I'm cold.
Yeah, was it? You got
you can't possibly
on?
Be cold. You should be well lubricated by this
man,
point.
Man, I'm warm. I am warm and rosy, let me tell you.
So we're into beer number five, and we've been we just were digressing so much during the break about what we're going to look at and do and watch the movie then. So we got our culture back on.
Another beer that we've done before, go back and listen to it, Bayhawk Ales, the chocolate porter. I visited with the assistant brewer one night when I was at a club, and they were doing karaoke stuff. This is the Pilsner Room in Irvine, California. first night that there was any activity and they were doing karaoke, I couldn't stand it. And I saw this dude brewing. I walked back there. And
you didn't get up and sing Afternoon Delight?
He treated me like a king. You know, it was just wonderful to sit there and watch some guy brewing beer. It was fun.
Absolutely.
It was the best part of that week. Well, no, going to the Stone 10th Anniversary Festival was the best part of that week.
Yeah, that was good. That was
this,
good.
That topped it off very well.
So this is an American porter, although on the website they say this is an English porter, but because we screw with it, that turns it into an American porter.
Okay, Mike, at first you said strange notes. I got the same thing.
Yeah.
But now, are you getting chocolate?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of maple smell to me.
I'm getting chocolate.
I got
chocolate.
Like a syrup.
I'm getting serious chocolate.
Yeah.
But it's not cocoa. Like a lot of beers that are like chocolate or cocoa, this is more chocolate. Definitely more chocolate than I forget what was the one that we had a while back that it said nestled on a bed of cocoa or something like that. And it's like it was like almost powdery, the aftertaste. You could taste cocoa. I like chocolate better than cocoa.
I think I killed that brain cell with alcohol.
You might have. It's good.
That's
I like this.
Angels.
And
either
these guys
it's down the drain.
Do that, or Dick's having very vivid dreams at night.
No. It's on there. Go back, and listen to every one of the shows. You'll find it.
Every one of them.
But the reviewers are not necessarily kind to this. I mean, they're
always
little,
mean to Bay Hawk Ales.
What's up with that?
I don't know. They're just not well rated. Even the Dude Night guys, they don't like them that much.
Well, there's nothing wrong with this beer.
I think they call them weak or something. They weren't bringing it. I don't know. But
I don't know what that means, but we're judging them by their porter, and this is not a bad entry.
They've got a good Hefeweizen. The problem is they're in Southern California. Everybody wants a freaking blonde, you know.
Well, in Southern California, though, they want over the top, too. So hop the
Well, some
of
them
it.
Do, but most of them just want your basic blonde ale.
But
know?
As far as the rating goes, I mean, this is a chocolate porter. Are they comparing it against other chocolate porters, or are they in the just comparing a, yeah, I like it, I don't like it?
I don't know. You know, that's one of those things. Beer is so subjective, and one guy likes it, another one doesn't, like we referred to on the video. We love bourbon-aged beers.
Mm-hmm.
Other people can't stand
Widely
it.
Available here in this area, this region.
Plenty of
You go out
barrels.
West, there aren't any of them.
Not a lot of bourbon
made
out there.
It may be original. Who knows?
Because I guarantee you there's plenty of empty barrels here to use, Kentucky, Tennessee, et cetera.
Yeah. Okay, let's not dawdle.
We got beers to drink here.
We got beer haiku.
And we
you
got
ready?
Some culture.
You ready to cue up the music?
Okay. Let me get the... Wait, I got to put the needle on the record. Hang on.
Beer haiku daily. Barrel-aged Gonzo Imperial Porter. Pitch black. Tan. Thick tan head. Chocolate, coffee, whiskey. Holy shit, that's good. Beer haiku.
Culture.
Thank you.
Amen.
Very good.
Very, very good. Golf clap.
Now, who wrote that one?
That was contributed by Captain Hops himself. The main man.
The proprietor of Beer Haiku Daily.
He must have been drinking some Wild Dog barrel-aged Gonzo Imperial Ale.
He was. And there was a lot of... We kind of scrolled around. This is not the most recent. We kind of poked around looking at him. He's kind of giving shout-outs to a lot of breweries, I noticed. And this one is for Flying Dog. And
Flying Dog, very cool. They're out of Colorado.
And we picked this one because it's about a porter. And their Gonzo Imperial Porter, which technically is a Baltic porter.
I don't get it.
You don't get it?
Huh.
It's a porter.
Why did we pick that?
Because we're drinking
Because we're doing a porter show.
Oh.
That's what happens when you've drank six porters. And a barley wine.
Yeah, I forgot about that barley wine.
Yeah. But anyway, so good stuff. And then we were digressed on the movies and beer size. And we were talking about the blogs and
you
things
do blogs?
For Moe's.
Okay, you got a couple.
And, well, what you just showed me was just funny as hell.
Just to recap a conversation we're having on the Confrontation Board, which is the site run by Groucho and Chad. Of the beerreport.com. Everybody's seen the movie 300.
Except
if you haven't,
except for us,
your man card's officially revoked.
I know. Isn't there like a suspension period? Don't we have like 2 weeks to go see it?
No, you're pretty much a girly man if
Damn.
You haven't gone.
Man,
see
we
got to
see it opening night.
Well, no, it's been out for a month now. It's going
to
be on
make
DVD.
It, to make it worse, I have seen Blades of Glory, so
right.
I'm going to have to get a dress and put it on right now.
Ask your wife, pretty please, if you can borrow your man card for 2 hours so you can go see this movie. But the thing I want to promote, it actually came in from Rumbar. He's a friend of the site from Down Under. He pointed us off to Lisa Nova Does 300. And Lisa Nova is apparently a repressed artist of some sort, but she's got a gazillion videos on YouTube. And Lisa Nova Does 300. If you've seen the movie, go check it out. You'll laugh your ass off. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I have not seen the movie, and I thought it was pretty damn funny.
All right. It'll make sense and be even more funny if you see the movie. So you need to borrow your man card. Go watch the movie. Eat some popcorn or something. You know,
I don't think my wife will let me have my man card back.
Just tell her it's a loan.
Yeah. Tell her. Ask her if you can please borrow it, and you'll take her
They can
her
go
too.
With us.
Got to take her to Paulette's and eat steak and lobster one night.
Well, no, you
got
to take her to go see a movie called Mailboxes or something, you know?
Yeah.
Something with
something sympathetic.
Some chick movie.
Chick flick.
So other beer blogs and sites that we want to promote. Don't forget, side note, AppalachianBrewery.com. I mangled their address last time. Home of the beer blog Friday, first Friday every month. This month, doubles. And
they're pretty much blowing us off, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. So
we don't like that.
Yeah, no, we don't. We're gonna shut their ass down in a minute.
Everybody send them an email.
That's right. Spam them. Tell Stan Hieronymus, pay attention.
Brew like a monk.
That's right.
He still hasn't sent me a copy of the book signed.
Well, we're so we're still liking them, but it's starting to get a little tenuous. The relationship is all on our side. We're doing all the work.
We're doing all the loving.
Come on, Stan. We need some love back.
It's kind of like Green Flash Brewery. They won't answer the phone.
But I do. Yeah. But I do go there because he has a huge list of beer blogs, and they're really good. And so that's kind of my starting point. And two of the ones that I want to point out today, one of them, beerchef.com. In preparation for the show, I started looking for food pairings. I came across the site. Bruce Patton, or Peyton, is an executive chef, and he has a website called beerchef.com. That's beer-chef.com. And he is in demand by breweries to come up with menus to go with their beers. Got a ton of them on his website. And this is where I'm looking at them and seeing all these different breweries and what they're doing with porters. Porters are typically at the end of the meal as a dessert-type beer, but I notice a lot of the porters being served with main courses, barbecue, smoked duck, all kinds of good stuff. So,
what's the dude's name?
Bruce Patton, Patton, at beer-chef.com.
Okay.
The other one I want to give a shout-out to.
So he does beer and food. That's good.
He does. Mm-hmm. And this is his job.
So do any kind of music?
No.
Then he's not near as good as we are.
No, well, he. This is his website about him and about what he does. So it's very educational. About if you wonder what does beer go with, you'll get 1,000 ideas off this site. The other site, and I like this because I'm looking and saying, hey, this guy's kind of like us. His website is called beerbeatsbites.blogspot.com. He's all about beer, music, and food, which is basically us. He's techno, not blues, and his food is pretty much anything he feels like. And this
guilty
is,
pleasure admission. I like techno.
I like techno. I'm fine with it. Especially the more drunk I am, the better it sounds. But he's a beer geek. Works as a systems analyst. Greg is his name. Go check it out, and we'll have links to these on the website.
And here's our salute to short Napoleonic French fries.
Yeah, don't say. I'll get us an explicit rating.
Cut that.
Rick's having a bad day.
Lion bastard Frenchman. How's that?
Damn the French.
Work is interfering with my beer drinking.
Nobody from France listens to us.
I thought that's the reason you drank beer.
Amen to that.
So
we're having the week bringer of the night.
No.
With a little splash? What do you guys think?
Man, this is good stuff. What are you talking about? This is your classic
this
Borp.
The Borp. Mm. With a splash of Jack Daniels.
Jack Daniels.
Tennessee whiskey.
Brewed Lynchburg, Tennessee.
And we say Borp, and what the official Epiphany brewing name is?
Bourbon Oak Robust Porter with smoked malts.
Yes, that's what it is. And these are smoked malts. You use the German malts?
Mm-hmm.
This is Rick's homebrew.
The Bamberg smoked malts.
And you hit it one time in your grill?
Yeah, with a little bit of hickory.
It's a little extra smoke.
So the Bamberg malts that came in, they weren't quite smelling smoky enough, and that's all beechwood smoked, and so I hit it with a little bit of hickory.
And you are serving this down home style. Pour it straight down the center of the glass. Jack that head up. Tame it with a little splash of Jack Daniels. All right.
And what are you thinking?
Swirl it. Man, this is it. Isn't this smooth?
Yeah.
Mm. Slap me naked and call me Shirley, man. This is good stuff.
I only got a few of these left.
Well, these are good. You got to do another round of these.
Yeah, no, I need to.
I think they get better as they age. Not that these are old by any stretch. We're talking about months.
Months. Yeah. Yeah, they didn't survive.
They don't last long because it's really good. And this is one of the ones you sent to Brewbubba's?
Brewbubba's for the Linda Stark fundraiser.
So this beer's been around. I mean, made the rounds. And a lot of people
it's like Memphis Mini.
Yeah.
Tricks ain't walking, man.
That's right. This is good stuff, and man, that splash really just
doesn't it
kicks it up a notch. Mm-hmm. Good call,
because it kind of forgets the bourbon. I had almost a full bottle of Maker's Mark in there, mm-hmm. but it goes away; it kind of dissipates. So,
yeah, probably
adding a fresh slap or splash of the Jack Daniels.
Yeah, I think you're right; it was a fresh slap.
adds to
slap
the
me naked.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Oh, I like that. Well, we have had a boat load of porters.
Our table's full.
God, a massive amount of food. So good stuff. We did our beer haiku. We did our culture. We did our news.
Light.
We've spent an awful lot of time reminiscing about the scene here in Memphis with Martin Luther King and everything. Good
stuff.
Talked
about Prohibition.
And a lot of stuff coming up. Now, this is probably going to be mid-April by the time this show is out, and that means we're only a couple of weeks away from our barbecue team debut. It's going to happen. We're ordering the shirts this week, and test cook in the backyard. Who knows? We may grab some audio from that, and then comes May.
Oh, you can
May.
Be assured we're going to.
Oh, yeah. And then comes May, and that's when all hell breaks loose around here. If you
remember last year...
Things get a little nuts around here, and looking forward to it. Hope you can join us at Memphis in May. And we got one more song that we're going to play and call it a show, and we may stick a segment right there on the end for a surprise porter that I found. This may be the suck one.
Guaranteed to be the best.
Yeah, right. And so we're going to close out with Government Mule. And this is, we closed the last show with
You haven't sold me on Government Mule yet.
Well, they're pretty cool. They're a bluesy roots rock garage jam band. They just kind of cover it, and they sound like a lot of 70s
guys. I haven't
heard
of Toe Tapper yet.
Well, we're going to play it for you now. It's Bad Man Walking. See you next time.
Drive safe.
Come back and see us.